Imagine downloading a highly rated, cutting-edge privacy tool from the world's most trusted AI repository.
Right, something you'd think is completely safe.
Exactly. It has over 250,000 downloads, hundreds of likes, a number one trending badge. You pull it down, run the setup script, and assume you've just secured your data.
But that's not what happens, is it?
No. Instead, in the span of roughly 2 seconds, you've just handed the keys to your entire network over to an information stealer. It just rips through your crypto wallets, browser sessions, and proprietary code, and then it deletes its own tracks and vanishes.
It is a brutal scenario.
Like what?
And the scariest part is that it's no longer theoretical. That exact sequence just played out on a massive scale.
Yeah.
And it highlights a fundamental shift we really have to confront right now. The timeline of a cyber attack hasn't just shrunk. I mean, it has completely collapsed.
Welcome to your Cyber Mornings Daily Briefing. Today's deep dive is taking a hard look at that collapse. We're cutting through the noise of the daily threat intelligence feeds to focus on three critical stories.
And they all point to the same terrifying but, completely fascinating reality.
Right. AI and automation have fundamentally accelerated how fast attacks happen. And that is forcing a radical shift in how we defend. You know, cybersecurity used to feel like a slow, strategic game of chess.
Yeah, you'd have time to react.
Exactly. You make a move, you deploy a firewall, you patch a server, the attacker makes a move, they probe a port, they write a custom exploit. It took time. You could actually think.
But not anymore.
No, looking at today's briefing, it no longer feels like chess. It feels like playing high-speed table tennis in the pitch dark against a machine that never gets tired.
Oh, that visual captures the asymmetry perfectly. I mean, the human reaction time, our ability to read an alert, understand it, and act on it,
Right.
that hasn't changed.
Right. We're still human.
But the speed of the game has increased exponentially
Yeah.
because the adversary is automating their deception. And today's stories illustrate this shift brilliantly, starting with how attackers are weaponizing social proof.
Yeah, which is the one thing we rely on most heavily when adopting new technology. So to see this in action, we need to look at what just happened on Hugging Face.
Which is huge.
For anyone outside the machine learning bubble, Hugging Face is essentially the central hub, like the GitHub, for the AI community. It's where developers share open source models and data sets.
It's the go-to place.
Right. And recently, OpenAI released a highly anticipated, completely legitimate tool called Privacy Filter. The intent was fantastic. It's a model designed to detect and redact personally identifiable information, or PII.
Yeah, to make applications more secure.
Exactly. But the irony is rich here, isn't it?
Oh, incredibly rich. Attackers immediately saw an opportunity to exploit the hype around a security tool, so they spun up a malicious repository using the name OpenOS Privacy Filter.
So classic type of squatting.
Classic type of squatting, targeting the legitimate OpenBoy filter release. And they didn't just pick a clever name. I mean, they cloned the legitimate model card, the entire description, just verbatim.
But, you know, type of squatting alone doesn't really guarantee victims. Like, if I upload a fake file with zero downloads, no one is going to touch it.
No, they'd spot the fake immediately.
Right. So they gamed the system. They used automated botnets to artificially inflate their metrics on Hugging Face.
Wow.
In just 18 hours, this fake repository hit the number one trending spot. It racked up roughly 244,000 downloads and 667 likes.
And this is where we see the psychology of the modern developer being used against them. We are just so conditioned to trust the algorithm.
Yeah, completely.
When a developer is rushing to integrate a new feature and sees a trending badge with 250,000 downloads, their critical thinking just shuts off.
You just assume the community has already vetted it.
Exactly. The attackers don't have to hunt for vulnerable networks anymore. They just manipulate the platform's algorithm to serve the malware directly to the listener or the developer on a silver platter.
So let's walk through what actually happens when a developer falls for this. They clone the repository, thinking you're getting a privacy tool. The instructions tell them to run a Python script called loader.py,
Or a batch script if they're on Windows.
right, to set up the dependencies. But instead of installing a privacy filter, it triggers this wild automated infection chain.
Yeah, the architecture of this attack is remarkably elegant. The moment you run that script, the malicious code springs to life. First, it immediately disables SSL verification.
Yeah.
Then it decodes a Base64 encoded URL. And Base64 is essentially just a translation trick. It turns a web address into a string of gibberish to hide it from very basic security scanners.
Just slipping past the static defenses.
Exactly. And that decoded URL points to a public paste service called JSONKeeper.
Wait, why jump through that specific hoop? Why point it to a public text paste like JSONKeeper? That seems like an extra messy step.
It does seem that way, right?
Does that let them swap out the malware payload later without ever touching the original file on Hugging Face?
You hit the nail on the head. In the industry, we call that a dead drop resolver.
Oh, wow.
By pointing the initial script to a public text paste that they control, the attackers can change the underlying payload URL on the fly at 3 a.m. without ever logging back into Hugging Face.
That makes the attack incredibly dynamic.
And incredibly hard to take down.
Yeah.
If one payload server gets blocked, they just update the text in the paste bin and the malware routes to a new server instantly.
That makes total sense. So the script hits JSONKeeper, grabs the new command, and passes it to PowerShell. That PowerShell command then reaches out to a remote server to pull down a second stage downloader.
Right.
But again, I have to ask about the complexity here. Why not just put the final malware directly in the Python script? Why use a loader to get a paste to get a PowerShell command to get a second stage?
It is all about evading behavioral detection.
Mm.
Modern security tools don't just look for bad files anymore. They look for bad behavior. If a Python script suddenly tries to download an executable and rewrite the registry, the antivirus is going to kill it instantly. So the attackers stretch the process out.
Spreading out the noise.
Exactly. This second stage batch script's entire job is just to prepare the battlefield before the real weapon arrives. It elevates privileges using a user account control prompt. It configures specific exclusions in Microsoft Defender, so the antivirus is essentially ordered to look the other way.
It's turning off the security cameras before bringing the safecracker into the building.
Precisely. It even disables the Windows Anti-Malware Scan Interface, or AMSI, which is the guard dog that analyzes scripts as they run.
Wow.
Once the cameras are off and the guard dog is asleep, it sets up a scheduled task to launch the final executable payload. And here's the kicker. Once that final payload runs, it waits exactly 2 seconds before deleting its own scheduled task.
Meaning there is no persistence. If the victim realizes something is wrong and reboots their machine, the malware doesn't automatically start up again.
Right. Threat intelligence from Hidden Layer Research noted that it's acting as a one-shot system context launcher. It runs exactly once, with the highest possible privileges, grabs absolutely everything it can get its hands on, and just vanishes into thin air.
And what it grabs is devastating. The final payload is a Rust-based information stealer specifically designed to harvest data from Discord, crypto wallets, FileZilla, and any Chromium or Gecko-based browser.
Passwords, session tokens, seed phrases, it vacuums it all up.
And the infrastructure ties this entire operation back to a Chinese hacking group known as Silver Fox. It's acting as a new initial access vector for their ValleyRat malware.
Yeah. The takeaway here for anyone downloading open source code is that trending metrics are not security certificates. Threat actors have completely pivoted their distribution model. They are poisoning the well right at the source.
Which naturally leads us to a massive dilemma.
Mm.
If the cloud AI ecosystem, the very repositories we rely on, is this easily poisoned, the immediate reflex for any security team is retreat.
Absolutely. You pull everything in-house.
Right. You say, we can't trust the cloud. Let's run our large language models locally behind our own firewalls to protect our data.
But that creates a false sense of security.
Exactly. Especially when the local tools themselves introduce massive, fundamentally new blind spots. Which brings us to story number 2, Ollama.
Ollama is the absolute gold standard right now for running large language models locally. It's an open source framework with over 171,000 stars on GitHub.
People love it.
Developers love it because it simplifies the whole process of spinning up complex AI models on everyday hardware. But security researchers at Sierra recently dropped a bombshell.
Yeah, this was huge.
They uncovered a critical out-of-bounds red flaw. They dubbed it Bleeding Llama. And it carries a massive CVSS severity score of 9.1.
So to understand how Bleeding Llama actually works, we have to look at how these local AI models are packaged. They use a file format called GGUF.
Which stands for GPT-Generated Unified Format.
Right. It's basically a highly optimized container that holds all the neural network weights so the model can load quickly into memory. And the flaw exists in how Llama handles those GGUF files, specifically using a programming language called Go.
Now, Go has built-in memory safety guarantees, which are designed to stop exactly this kind of vulnerability.
So what went wrong?
Well, developers often need to squeeze every ounce of performance out of the hardware when dealing with massive AI models. To do that, Llama uses Go's unsafe package.
Ah, the unsafe package.
Yeah. It allows developers to intentionally bypass those memory safety guardrails. But performance comes at a severe cost if you aren't perfectly validating the inputs.
And the researchers found that an attacker can send a specially crafted GGUF file to Llama's API endpoint. The key here is that they manipulate the file to declare a tensor shape that is artificially inflated.
Right.
Can we break down what a tensor shape actually means here and why inflating it breaks the system?
Sure. Think of the server's memory allocation like a hotel. Normally, when you load a model, it tells the system, I need a room this big.
Oh.
And the system hands over the key to that specific room.
Okay, that makes sense.
The tensor shape is basically the dimensions of that room. What the attacker does with this crafted file is book one small room, but they manipulate the paperwork, the tensor shape, to trick the system into thinking they actually rented the entire floor.
Wow.
Because Llama is using that unsafe package, it doesn't double check the math. Suddenly, the attacker has the master key to walk the halls and look inside everyone else's rooms. They read past their allocated buffer and straight into the process heap memory.
They're reading memory they have absolutely no business seeing, and then they can just use another API endpoint to exfiltrate that stolen memory out to an external server.
Exactly. Vacuuming up the heap memory.
So what exactly is sitting in the memory of an active AI server?
Everything you wouldn't want an attacker to see. Environment variables, API keys, system prompts, and crucially, the concurrent conversation data of every single user interacting with that model at that time.
And the Sayura researchers pointed out a compounding factor here that is just terrifying. A lot of developers are connecting Llama to autonomous coding tools like Claude Code.
Oh yeah, that makes it so much worse.
Right. In those setups, the tool is reading your local files, parsing your proprietary source code, and sending it to Llama to process. All of that sensitive proprietary data flows directly into the server and sits right there in the heap memory.
Just waiting to be stolen by anyone who inflates a tensor shape that is an absolute gold mine. But you know, the memory leak is only half the problem with Llama, right?
Right, there's more.
Yeah. Researchers at a firm called Striga found two additional unpatched vulnerabilities specifically targeting Llama's Windows auto-update mechanism.
Auto-update flaws are always a nightmare because they turn a feature designed to keep you safe into the weapon itself. We're looking at a combination of a missing signature verification and a path traversal vulnerability. How do these two interact?
The first flaw is a catastrophic oversight. The Windows updater doesn't verify the digital signature of the update binary before it tries to install it.
So no ID check.
Right. Think of a digital signature like a verified ID card. The system is supposed to check the ID to make sure the update actually came from the official vendor. Because it doesn't check, the bouncer at the door of your operating system is essentially letting anyone in as long as they are wearing a fake name tag.
And the second flaw, the path traversal, dictates where that unverified person gets to go once they are inside the club.
Exactly. The updater creates the local path for the downloaded file directly from the HTTP response headers without sanitizing them.
Oh, no.
So if an attacker can intercept or control that update response, like tricking the system into using plain HTTP instead of a secure connection, they can tell the updater to drop a malicious executable directly into the Windows startup folder.
And because there is no signature check, the system just blindly accepts it. Every single time that user logs into Windows, that malicious code executes silently in the background.
Handed over on a silver platter by the software's own update engine.
I have to push back on the broader philosophy here, though.
Oh, sure.
The entire selling point of running a framework like Llama locally is privacy. The promise is that your data never leaves your machine. But if an attacker can just leak the heap memory to steal my API keys or hijack the auto updater to drop an info stealer straight into my startup folder, aren't we just trading a theoretical cloud risk for a massive, very real endpoint risk?
That is the exact irony of the situation. We are taking bleeding edge, highly experimental AI technology and bolting it onto traditional operating systems that have decades-old architectural vulnerabilities.
It's why
you might be keeping your data away from a cloud provider, but you are inadvertently opening up a remote code execution pathway right on your local machine.
So for the listener who is running a Llama on their machine right now, what is the immediate practical takeaway? How do they lock this down?
First, you must immediately apply the patches for the API memory flaw. Update your instance. Second, you cannot leave the Llama REST API exposed to your broader network.
Because there's no authentication.
Right, exactly. No built-in authentication by default. You have to isolate it behind a firewall or a secure API gateway. And finally, if you're running Llama on Windows, you need to manually intervene. Go into your app data folder and delete the Llama shortcut from the startup folder to kill that silent execution pathway.
And what about the updates?
Turn off the automatic updates entirely until the vendor releases a comprehensive patch for the update engine itself.
Okay, let's zoom out and look at the picture we've painted today. Attackers are launching supply chain attacks on platforms like Hugging Face at Lightspeed, netting hundreds of thousands of victims in hours. At the same time, the local AI tools we are trying to retreat to are riddled with unpatched memory and OS vulnerabilities. If human defenders are still manually reviewing alerts, debating if an anomaly is a false positive, and typing up JIRA tickets to fix these issues, the math simply doesn't work.
We will lose every single time the math is entirely broken.
Yes.
Which sets up our final story today.
Right.
The realization that to survive machine speed attacks, the defense must finally adopt machine speed autonomy.
And there's a new, incredibly eye-opening report from Piece of Security that breaks down exactly how much the attacker's timeline has collapsed. Let's look at the historical data. Back in 2024, the mean time from a vulnerability being published to a working exploit appearing in the wild was 56 days.
Almost 2 months.
Right. You had almost 2 months to test a patch, schedule a maintenance window, and roll it out. By 2025, that window shrank to 23 days. Still somewhat manageable, but getting tight.
And the data for 2026 is staggering. Across an analysis of more than 3,500 CVE exploit pairs, the exploitation window, the time you have to patch before attackers are actively using it against you, has collapsed to just 10 hours.
10 hours? You go to sleep, a vulnerability drops, and by the time you pour your morning coffee, your servers are already being breached.
And the execution speed is just as terrifying. The report notes that an AI-assisted attacker can now compromise a vulnerable system in roughly 73 seconds.
73 seconds, wow.
Compare that to the human defense side. Even a highly competent, well-staffed security operations center usually takes at least 24 hours just to triage an alert, test a patch in a sandbox, secure management approval, and deploy the fix.
The report calls out a concept that I think every IT and security professional listening will recognize instantly. They call it the spaghetti handoff.
Oh, yeah. The spaghetti handoff.
It is the root cause of that 24-hour delay. The spaghetti handoff is the unread Slack message sitting in a channel while someone is on lunch. It's the analyst manually copy-pasting a file hash from a PDF threat report into a SIEM search bar. It's the worst.
It's the JIRA ticket waiting for a bleary-eyed manager in a different time zone to approve it at midnight. It's all these points of human friction, fatigue, and miscommunication that cause response times to absolutely die in transit.
For a decade, the cybersecurity industry's proposed solution to this was purple teaming. The concept is fundamentally sound. You have a red team that acts like the attacker to find vulnerabilities, and a blue team that acts as the defender to see if their controls actually catch the attack.
They share notes, iterate, improve.
Exactly. But traditional purple teaming has failed at scale because it requires massive human orchestration. It relies entirely on those messy spaghetti handoffs. It became a buzzword for vendor slide decks, but it was never truly operational on a daily basis.
But the PACIS report details a massive paradigm shift away from that manual process, moving toward what they call autonomous purple teaming. And we need to be very clear about the terminology here. We aren't just talking about basic task automation.
No, not at all. We aren't talking about using a large language model to write a quick yar-yar-yar rule or summarize a log file so an analyst can read it faster. We are talking about true end-to-end autonomy.
The distinction is critical. Pieces outlines how autonomous purple teaming combines three distinct integrated elements. First, automated penetration testing. That replaces the human red team's continuous manual probing. It constantly asks the environment what can actually be exploited today.
Right.
Second, breach and attack simulation, or BAS. That automates the blue team's role, verifying whether the firewalls, endpoint agents, and network controls actually stop the simulated attack. And the third piece is the true breakthrough. AI-powered mobilization.
This mobilization piece is the game changer because it removes the human from the typing into JIRA seat. The work is handled by a chain of specialized AI agents passing context seamlessly to one another.
There's do the work.
Yeah. A cyber threat intelligence agent sees a new vulnerability alert in the wild and instantly enriches it with data. It passes that to a baseliner agent, which scans your specific environment to see if you are vulnerable.
And then?
The red and blue agents run real simulations against your actual security controls in a safe sandbox. And if they find a gap, a mobilizer agent automatically deploys the low-risk fixes.
Like pushing an IP block to a firewall.
Exactly. Or updating an antivirus signature. It only opens a ticket for a human if the required fix is highly complex, risky, or requires architectural changes. Zero humans in the loop for the busy work.
I love that.
You know, it makes me think of historical firefighting. The old spaghetti handoff method is basically a bucket brigade. You have a line of exhausted people clumsily passing heavy buckets of water to each other, splashing it everywhere, shouting communications down the line over the roar of the flames.
It's incredibly slow.
People get tired, mistakes happen, and the house usually burns down anyway. This new autonomous purple teaming, it's like a modern, intelligent, smart sprinkler system. It detects the smoke, calculates the exact spread and chemical composition of the fire, and extinguishes it instantly in the specific room where it started.
All while you were asleep in the next room.
Exactly.
The bucket brigade simply cannot scale to meet the physics of modern fires. And manual security cannot scale to meet the speed of modern AI attacks. When attackers operate at machine speed, the most critical gap in your security isn't detecting the threat anymore.
Right. Detection is largely solved.
The critical gap is the time between detecting the threat and proving it fast enough to patch your systems before that 10-hour exploitation window closes. You cannot bridge a 10-hour gap with a bucket brigade. You need the smart sprinkler system.
So let's quickly recap the insights from today's briefing. We saw how threat actors weaponize our trust and AI hype, using fake metrics on Hugging Face to distribute devastating info stealers in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
We examined how pulling AI models locally with a llama inadvertently opens up massive memory leaks and Windows auto-update vulnerabilities, trading cloud risk for endpoint compromise. And we learned that with the exploitation window shrinking to a terrifying 10 hours, the only mathematical way to survive is to abandon the manual bucket brigade and adopt autonomous purple teaming.
To fight back at machine speed. And the core takeaway for you, whether you are a SOC analyst staring at a wall of alerts, an IT manager planning next year's budget, or just someone trying to keep your organization's data secure, is this.
What's the bottom line?
The era of manual security updates and human-paced instant response is functionally over. We are firmly in the age of machine versus machine warfare. Relying on human reaction time to patch a vulnerability is no longer a viable security strategy.
It really is table tennis in the dark against a machine. Which leaves us with one final thought to mull over as we wrap up today. If we are now handing the keys over to AI agents, allowing them to autonomously attack our networks, validate controls, and deploy patches on the fly to keep us safe.
Yeah.
What happens when your autonomous defense AI and an attacker's autonomous offensive AI start learning from each other? What happens when they begin adapting in real time, rewriting exploits and defenses milliseconds apart, locked in a deep learning arms race deep inside your infrastructure? At that point, who is actually in control of your network?
That is the reality we are stepping into right now.
Something to think about. That's our deep dive for today. Stay safe out there.